Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
talented Shout Even Shy. Shout, if you're out there, come back. We miss you. She was, of course, playing the guitar and singing to the words of my co-host, none other than the enormously talented himself, Jay Hatter. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
I was fine, AP. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. So welcome to A Team of Voices Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to find us, traipse your way across to allpoetry.com and create yourself an account. And once you've done that for free, of course, you can then wander to the door of A Team of Voices. And at the door of A Team of Voices, you will find the person that does all of the heavy lifting to the group. And that is, of course, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I am excellent, but I should, of course, apologise for the fact that we don't have a collaboration this week, which is completely my fault, because I have been released from lockdown after 280 days, which is the largest amount anywhere in the world, I hasten to add. And this particular last run, we've had over 110 days where it's not been possible for us to go out to any shops, apart from shopping to no restaurants, no stuff apart from takeaway, no going more than 5 miles away from your house, and no getting outside your house after 9 o'clock at night. So that was all stopped, thank Christ, about a week ago.
Man, that's,
And now there's been a mad scramble. Oh, yeah. There's been a mad scramble where all of us who have been missing restaurants and bars and everything else have been going out and booking in and doing that, and I have been amongst them. So wine bar, gin bar, Vietnamese restaurant, Italian restaurant, Spanish restaurant, and now seafood restaurant tonight, and that would be my week. And at some point I'm going to sleep a little bit. But that has meant that I haven't done a collaboration. But we do have Stephen here with us. Hello, Stephen. How are you? Or maybe Kay. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Slightly shaggy. But apart from that, good. Thank you.
I got a song for you. Just put it on the board.
You got a song for me? Oh, that's good. I'll have to have a look. You might have a gift for me, but I'll have a look at the board. I'm going to the board now. Let's have a look. 99 bottles of Foster's. No, I haven't had Foster's. I have had variously Scottish gin, English gin. I had a very, very nice Riesling from Austria. I had a very, very nice soft white wine from the French Loire Valley. I've drank just about anything that doesn't come from Australia, really. Have enjoyed it thoroughly. So I've been going to the top shelf, Stephen. I've after months of being in the bottom shelf, I've gone straight to the top shelf, and it's been very worthwhile. But at some point, probably in the next day or two, it'll come colliding into me with a great heap of stuff. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that day coming. But until then, I'm going to keep on going. So I'm back off to the high-class seafood restaurant tonight. Then I'm stopping for about 3-4 days to actually, you know, sober up, some would say. Anyway. So, Stephen, you did put a poem on the board, and we haven't even said what the theme is of today's episode, and it was chosen by me, and it was the Raven, and so I think a perfectly nice topic, really, but anyway, we've got a few poems on the board at it, so it's a good thing. So I'm going to put your poem up on the board. A second anniversary to a poetic slice of life. I didn't know that, Stephen. It's come around very quickly.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn around and bingo, you're two. Anyway, I have your poem on the board, apart from the very nice fireworks that Deb put up for your second anniversary.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that, Deb. Yeah, Deb sent me the picture on a poem, and this is what it inspired, and Deb said to bring it tonight, so I brought it for her because I do mention the Raven in there. So with a little tip of the hat to Simon and Garfunkel, I call this "All My Words Come Back to Me in Shades of Mediocrity." Smokeless tobacco stains cracked cement fences as ravens scream nevermore. Pipeline connection brings urine specimen, totter on duck back and forth. Heat miser hairdo and blackened eyeliner, illogical eyebrow raised, pitch wings pinned to sides, taking bow tie in stride, poison runs through copper glaze. Transportation is eyeless, Google Maps missing stylus, thickened spring travels deep underground, with no chevrons to guide us, direction imbibes us, death and cancer are laid all around. Innocence fears what does enter red ears. Feather flutters to earth. Crabgrass dies away, so now nowhere to play. Cursing in circles since birth. End poem.
Very, very, very nice. I like that a lot. It's got a lovely... of course, you have to love Homeward Bound. I mean, who doesn't like that song? But... together, Stephen. I enjoyed that a lot. Catter, what did you think?
I like it.
Almost
I like it. I like the picture. You know, sort of a gangster in the kid's sandbox type thing. That's the Raven Scream Nevermore. What I got was the Poison Runs Through Copper Glaze. It was like the day when the day comes, you have to tell your kids it's not safe to go outside. The air, there's not safe.
Yes.
Just being out there. Very disturbing imagery that I got from it. Of course, that's what I've been all day. Laid all around us. Yeah, that's what I got. He just says it's not safe to go outside because of the air. That could happen so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So, yeah, and AP, that's like serving time, man. 200, you did 280 days, huh?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I went crazy.
No. It is. It's sort of like having a sort of half prison sentence, isn't it? Anyway, Deb, what did you think of Stephen's piece?
Well, for starters, I'm fairly sure we had no clue what the topic was going to be when he saw this and the piece with the Raven Nevermore was in there. So that I thought was cool. Part of the reason that I tossed it his way is because of the long-running joke with him and Sky with the ducks. I right away saw the Chevron duck and thought, oh, he was going to have a field day. I like all the little nuances that you brought in. Like each one for its own cleverness, like heat miser hairdo and blackened eyeliner, illogical eyebrow raised. Like there's a nod to Spock there. So there's all these clever little things that you brought in. I only found one missing, but it's not necessarily missing. It's just at first glance, my mind went to Chucky. So I wondered, you know, if he might get a role. But I didn't miss him when I read it because it was so, you know, it was already a brilliant piece. I thought you did awesome with it. And I really, really love when I send somebody a photo and it screams at them like this. And then you get a 10 and that's like icing on the cake. And you blew 200 away a long time ago. So you go, dude. I'm glad you brought it.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks for the pick.
Well done. Now, did you want to say, I know you're usually on a bit of a tight leash for time, so did you want to do a little bit of a bit of a push for any of your programs coming up while we have you live to it?
Yeah, the next couple, we're having a special one tomorrow night, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do like a little anniversary bash for us. Being the second anniversary of our radio shows. And we're going to celebrate with some Rocky Horror Picture Show. We're going to listen to the music from Rocky Horror. Yeah, we're going to read some poems that are inspired by the movie and talk about the movie and just have a good time. And Monday night is the mortuary, 11:30 p.m., and it's open dark poetry.
Even better. Okay, well done. Excellent. Now, did you want to hang around, or are you going to disappear into the night, Steve?
I'll hang for one poem, and then I probably better go.
You're going to hang for a poem? Okay.
Yep.
Now, Hatters isn't ready, and so I'm going to take the executive decision that I'm going to do mine. Is that okay, Deb?
Absolutely.
It's not good either.
So, righto, let's put it on the board and throw it in. I actually like this one. One of the nights in the city, I was there in the storm. Whizzed on past, and I wrote this. So this is To the Night a Raven. It goes a little bit like this. The wind into metal thuds, craving of a presence fierce, and the keening and the howl anxiously spears, then a scowl, bluestone alleys, shadows left pierce. Hovering over the towers, booming bends around metal, as those hailstones bounce, thudding steer, they pounce, traipsing tennis balls into gutters settle. Cardboard and awnings ripped from the joint's fibre, prized into a cloudy night, glancing veer drifts in sight,
eddies by streets of stalking as targets. Innocence of a place is torn, dissolves into a torrent of water. Bare bones white exposed, gleaming pier still enclosed. Within soft wings hung by slaughter. While a single sparrow lies, hit by darkness and its debris. Hopping nearer is a raven, clawing here does hasten. Bit by piece, takes life before it too flees. End poem.
Now imagine, Hatter, he's in a really, really fantastic mood. Look how dark this is. Imagine if he was grumpy or mad when he was writing. Damn, AP. Talk about a pin drop when you're reading.
Just rolls along nicely, doesn't it? I just was in the middle of this storm, and it just was, I just started writing, and it just had a lovely cadence to it, and I just tried to get that cadence on the page with that sort of stopping and starting that you get with the thunder and the stutter of the lightning and the rebound in the city. Storms all around you in the city, because it sort of bounces off all of the towers, and that's what I was trying to get, was that sense of the storm around you. Yeah.
It's kind of freaking me out between the awesome wording and stuff and the fact that a lot of the feel and that storm and even down to that ending there, there are so many similarities to the one I fine-tuned and brought tonight that it's freaking me out a little. But, okay,
there you go.
Something in the air, I guess, but booming bends around metal. Mm. As those hailstones bounce, thudding steer, they pounce, traipsing tennis balls into gutters settle. Tennis balls, imagine that hail and the destruction that comes with them. But by the time you got to that last stanza, while a single sparrow lies hit by darkness and its debris hopping nearer in the raven clawing here, does hasten. Bit by piece takes life before it too flees. But I even think I might have had I might even have debris in mind, so it's really, really freaking me out in general direction tonight. But yeah, this is for you, over the top dark, but it's really dark, and the images are fantastic. You painted a hell of a scene.
Thank you, Deb.
I gotta agree with what's your name? Oh, yeah.
I'm going to punch you in the nose.
No, it, you did well. You did well. I think maybe slow it down a little bit more on those dark lines.
Yes.
Let it sink in. Yeah. No, when I said you can't read dark, I was wrong. I was wrong once before.
Thank you, Heather. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
I've particularly over the last, probably the last 3-4 months, I reckon, I've got better at it. Yeah.
But, I remember when you first read the first dark piece on the radio, we were at Gress's show. I think it was Gress's show.
Yeah.
And I just don't buy it. You can't read dark, man.
Yeah, well, it didn't feel black. It sort of felt grey, didn't it? It didn't have a sort of dark heart to it. But I'm reaching my way there.
Yeah, and when you hear your voice, there's an expectation of a certain lift, smile, you know, something. So
yeah.
It's like oranges and pudding.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So. Dear Stephen, what did you think of this one?
Well, I liked it. I like it a lot, and I agree with Deb as well. The imagery of the storm is just awesome. But that last stanza really kind of grabbed me and had me picturing something. I'm not sure if anybody's ever seen the miniseries of The Stand, but after they escape the base in the beginning, the little girl's doll ends up being falling out of the car, and then the raven flies down and is pecking and jumping at the doll. And I could just picture the raven in your room doing that to the carcass. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, bringing awesome dark pictures to my mind with it. It's an excellent write.
No, thank you, Stephen. As I said, I think my dark poetry has improved in the last little while. So for whatever reason, not quite sure why, but anyway, there you go. Now we're going to see if we can
stretch
a friendship.
280 days
long. Yeah, well, it's probably that. Now, Deb, you were freaking out a bit because your poem was so similar to mine, so I think we should put yours on next, and you have.
I did, and I was just going to say that you should, I mean, my photo could have even went with your poem. It's that freaky. That's why I was like, wait, you know, anyway.
Wow.
I
like the photo.
Yeah. And I went kind of dark, too, so it's called No Birds Fly Over Ebony Rainbows as Seagulls and Butterflies Die. And it's rare free verse as well, I think. Okay, here we go. Feathers circle overhead round the cypress trees, waving wings in a black blur as they fly the sky. And you map the hopscotch grid, drawing with periwinkled chalk lines, then drop kick me on top, marked as the pawn. Just for the kicks. Dust covers me 2 inches thick like the trinkets that the ravens store in darkness. Now heartbeats race, hopping the squares as eyes are blinded by that buzz-colored view and ears are deaf to the laughs as you toy with me. Plucking heartstrings like spruce violins and stirring the butterflies that mask the muffled scream inside. Yelling run. Tossing me in the spinning hurricane wind, flopping like the dead and discarded chess piece, you yank the air from my collapsing lungs, and she perches on my back. Her talons rip the flesh, pulgus, and whispering into my ear, grinning that you licked her lies off the tarnished spoon that she feeds you from. And you do. Every drop. And I see you. Beach sand sticks to bruised purple-black skin, and my body lays striped in red, welts from the leather shoe prints stamped on my swelling spine. I whimper as sunshine dies, then crawl to the ocean, churning the saltwater elegy, splashing an epitaph and christening me in my fight for breath. Calling to you, seagulls land by my fingertips, as I crash, but the ravens shred and eat her, and then tornado whistles whip and tsunami slap the shoreline, wiping it clean, leaving me with the debris, raked back in an aquamarine sea. So if you hear seagulls singing sweet symphonies in ocean breezes, picture me as my ghost wails and soars and circles around you too.
That's a beautiful feel, and dark and swirling feel, and the debris is definitely there, Deb. You know, as you said, it's got a very similar sense of sort of foreboding to it. So, your pre-verse is always very descriptive and sort of, you know, colourful in some way, and it really works. Well, it works on that anyway. Now, Stephen, if you're still with us, did you want to say a few words about Deb's poem, and then probably we're going to have to part ways?
Thanks.
Yeah, I figured I'd hang out for Deb since it was going right up. But yeah, the dark imagery in this has got me thinking of the raven being a harbinger of death. As it is, and it's, you know, tearing you apart. That, I mean, such dark and grim imagery in this. It just reminds me of. I don't want to go into it too much on the radio because I see what you're writing about, but yeah, it's a It's a very powerful piece, Deb.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for hanging out with us, and all the best with the shows and with the anniversary show coming up in the next day or so.
I'll see you at the party.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, sir. Cheers. Hatter, what did you make of Deb's Freeverse piece?
I think, like, Sweet Pea and some of the other girls, there's something about being able to reach into the dark and write when you're a girl. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just
I am a girl.
No. I know you are.
No,
I know you are. You write so well.
You're verging on trouble here, Hatter, but keep going.
Keep digging this hole? Okay.
No. I'm just verging on trouble is all I said.
Deborah's a little more subtle than like Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea likes to lower that axe somewhere towards the end of her right, and Deborah dances around a little bit. She picks her words carefully. The darker, and I just that's my own gig is that it's like a girl that can beat me playing pool. There's something sexy about that.
Okay, I'll take that comment.
Thanks, Hatter.
Incidentally, I'll beat your ass at pool too. Just saying.
You almost redeemed yourself, Hatter, but it was close. Now we've got another caller. Hello and welcome, 603 to the program. Hello, 603.
Hi.
Hey. Guy,
how are
Hello.
You?
I'm very, very well, Sky. How are you?
I was going to
make actually a comment about how different writers actually would go and use an axe, and actually, you know, go and do something dark. And I was going to make the comment something along the lines of what Skye would do is that she would grind that axe, and she would grind it so that it was perfectly finely pointed. And then use it in one cleaving blow. Whereas what I see Deb doing is I see Deb molding an axe and molding it into different colours. And then while it's incredibly colourful, just cutting the head off without anybody noticing. And then I compare that with Sweet Pea, who wouldn't bother to actually sharpen the axe but would leave it blunt just because... And they bludgeoned the poor bastard to death with it. And I was just thinking about that difference in how an axe would be used, if you know, comparing writers. There you go, Sky. How's that?
Well, I like that. You know, I would be quite exhausted if I had to bludgeon. So I think the pre-work is really works for me well. I think the putting in the work in the beginning to get it really nice and sharp and thin, like that's something I see myself doing. Like, you know, getting it perfect beforehand so that it just takes a nice clean, so that I don't have to be sitting there all night, you know. I think that's quite accurate. That's good.
Thank you very much. No, I thought so. But I thought the colourful axe thing sort of worked for Deb. I mean, it will end up a periwinkle colour or something, you know. You know, well, but they're different shades. Sort of dazzle
something. Tie-dye hammer.
Yeah, something like that. The
chalk in my palm was just periwinkle, and that was dark as hell. I did put the pretty periwinkle in there.
No, that's true. But then I thought the sweet one where she wouldn't bother actually, you know, sharpening it at all, I thought that was quite nice as well. But anyway, that's just an observation.
They worked well.
thank you. Sky, we're talking about a raven. I don't know if that fits for you in terms of your poetic lexicon, which I know is quite.
Because I've been trying to get used to a 7 a.m. schedule, being at work at 7 a.m., which I might be doing soon. So I've been trying to be good and busy. No, I didn't get it. I didn't get it yet. I didn't get it until Lulu yet, but I'm hoping. So I can't stay too late. But I did bring you something.
Okay.
And it has a crow in it, which is
close.
Not exactly what you were asking for, but
No, but it's in the same family, you know. It's a bit like bringing along, Sister Slaughter instead of Father Dredge or something. But it's very, very close, so I'm allowing it.
You're allowing. Awesome. But it's not actually about the crow. It just has crows. I hope you like it.
Well, it has crows as an aside. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. So it's...
Yeah.
But are you ready? Are you ready for this? Do you like Game of Thrones?
Why not?
Okay. So Deb will know.
Most people like Game of Thrones.
Deb will be...
The answer is yes.
Deb will be here with me.
The answer is yes.
This is the thing.
Yes.
I don't often write for my own shows, and I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
No.
And I went to, I had 14 shows devoted to Game of Thrones, and everybody who's never watched it wrote me character about these things. Deb, of course, wrote me every single week a character poem about these, and I got thinking, I'm like, I don't have any Game of Thrones poems myself. So here we go. Here's a Game of Thrones. Just a little bit of the wolves and crows.
Good.
It's called Lady Stoneheart. And it is a character description, so it isn't my story. So it's just me reinventing the story. So Lady Stoneheart by Skye Darkholme. I dream of wolves, of red whispers and wintry blood. Veils that linger half lies, empty, hollow wells. Of sprightly laughter, remembrances that fade as I attempt to reach beyond liverwort and mire, a dredge of fort composed of decaying leaves and sodden hearts, a mahogany rot box of ghostly coffin and corpse water. But those steps are always beyond grasp. I am left to wither, to carry the death of 3 days and 3 nights, stripped stark and emptied in rills, a true telling of River Run. I dream of wolves, of red weddings and wintry blood, of canine teeth bearing down, dragging body to shore, the last kiss of the Lord of Light, mouth of fire and breath of flame. But where those pieces lost in resurrection? Where are those auburn flecks of red-winged suns? The gray cloaks wrapped in stone. I have not taste nor rest. The second life is unforgiving, as I become just as brutal. A soft flesh of paste, pale ricotta white, the deep russet of oakwood hair turned brittle crone, half gone and half lived. I dream of wolves, of red vengeance and wintry blood, as I rake nails down the cheeks of peeking bones, flesh that lingers, wrought with disease, blue ice peering in the dark, those of a merciless mother, the hangwoman and silent sister, she who cannot scream, who cannot cry out for those fragments long forgotten, just echoes now, family, duty, honor. Just a faint ghost of black crows and howling wolves, of red whispers and wintry blood. End poem.
Well, that certainly captures something, Skye. I love the way you take that. I love the ghosts of black crows and howling wolves, of red whispers and wintry blood. It's beautifully written. Just has a lovely sense of place to it. And it is, I would say, a classically sky piece. However, Deb may have a different view. Deb, what did you think?
Well, for starters, Skye, you have this way of putting an undertone in your voice when you read that sometimes leads me into sadness. You know how often I'll say that, and you'll say to me, well, no, I wasn't really. But I felt a lot of it in this one. Right from the get-go, I dream of wolves, of red whispers and wintry blood. I love red whispers. Veils that linger half-lives, empty, hollow wells. It's just so disparaging, so sad, so gut-wrenching already. A mahogany rot box of ghostly coffin. Yeah, I don't want one of those. I want to be scattered in the ocean. I mean, that's and that description is like mind-boggling. A mahogany rot box. Damn, that's a vicious image. I dream of wolves, of red weddings and wintry blood, of canine teeth bearing down, dragging bodies to shore. The last kiss of the Lord of Light, mouth of fire and breath of flames. I mean, the descriptions are fantastic. I dream of wolves, of red vengeance and wintry blood as I rake nails down the cheeks of peeking bones. I mean, this is fabulous. Deep, dark imagery that pulls us all the way through and keeps us hanging on the image to find the next one. Brilliant read. I love it all the way through. Great share.
Thank you, Deb. And you're right. It's supposed to be sad. You're not wrong.
Thank you. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say in the storyline, she sees her son murdered, and then she gets murdered, and they throw her in the river, and then her daughter, who's actually a warg in wolf form, drags her out of the river, and she gets resurrected and becomes like this horrific murderer to anybody who did anything to harm her family. So it's supposed to be sad. So you got it.
Well, in a tribute to you, everything I got from that, I got from your words and your voice, because I've never seen a single episode of this. And even when I did all those writes for you, I just did it from the amazing quotes that you choose and built around them. I have no clue who the people are or anything to do with it. I just know that you just did an amazing poem here and pulled me in and kept me on the edge of my seat. So it's all tribute to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sky's got Sky reads same kind of cadence. I'm surprised. Sky's got the same kind of cadence as Pretty Bird. Natural invite narrative. You're a classic reader to you know. I don't know how to, but. You, because when you get to, especially with your own rights, of course, your voice introduces your subject, describes it, narrates it, actions it, and then the last line you put intent, a little intent, more intense in it, and then the last line you calm it back down. It's a nuance you can pick up. Pretty Bird is a little easier to hear that, but you and Hope and. And Pretty Bird all have that gift.
Thank you, Hannah.
In comment. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Sky, I'm assuming you have to depart stage left because of your 7 a.m. start. But
I do, yes. Thank
you. For joining.
I gotta throw two children out my bed too. If you will, on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Super, super excited. We are doing Back to the Future, triple feature, 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
You can write to any of the themes,
wow.
Characters, quotes. You can go anywhere you want. These are the easy shows. I pretty much take anything and everything. So no homework required, as Deb likes to say. I give you a break. And if I may just say, a little while, take it while you can, because we're going to be going kind of crazy come July. And then if I could find it, and if I could just, I know it's not till the 9th, but I want you guys to be all ready for Down the Tube, because I make you guys Sweet Pea has, I'm going to start labeling it this way too. She has graciously relabeled my Down the Tube to Home Study, Sky's Home Study Program. That's what she calls it.
Okay.
So you got to go look at the prompts. There's dangerous water slides, which is really cool, the deepest points of the earth, and the devil's kettle. So three prompts. Go check them out. Down the Tube. Watch the videos. They're pretty cool. And that's on the 9th. I know it's a little far away, but since this one is your homework required, I'm giving you guys a heads up.
Oh, I know. It's too good to laugh.
Well, Sky, where you're going, we don't need roads. So we will roll back to the future with you. I hope you like that quote. I've restated it.
I did.
We will hear you. We will hear you soon. So enjoy.
Yes,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And
have a good night.
Night, guys.
Okay.
Bye. Well, here we go. A couple of drop passes. Now I should push my program, Deb. I should push my program since Sky's just pushed her program. It means I can push my program. And we, of course, have that annual coming up.
Do me a favor. Hatter.
Yes.
Can
you talk for a minute? I want to tell AP something in the green room before he says what he's going to say.
Oh, we're going to the green room.
Sure.
Yep,
okay. Sure. Yeah. One thing, our fellow sister station had the third year anniversary, and I missed it. I apologize, Boo and Elsie. Sorry I didn't make it. Got like 3 years, 3 year anniversary. Congratulations. Sky, you still there? Oh, she hung up. So I'm here alone. All right. Happy Halloween. This is the one I did not get anything built to scare the kids. So I'm going to be hiding out myself. But Halloween 2021. Hope everybody's holidays coming up is going to be safe and warm. Seek out friends, seek out family, forgive anything in the past. Life's too short. Carry that weight. Let it go and be free of that. I know it's easy said, but I'll tell you what, once you do it, it gets easier and you feel better. You smile more, you know.
I'm back.
Start thinking about.
I'm so dead.
Oh, okay. I'm just getting ready to blast everybody. Okay.
Will you?
Well, I was wishing everybody a happy holidays. You know, seek out friends and family,
yes.
And you know, forgive anything that you're carrying around. Life's too short. All that good stuff.
That's good stuff. I like that. I think that's a very positive thing to do and a very positive thing to say. Now, have you been working on your poem, Hatter?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I did.
Okay, we'll give it more time. I can tell in your voice.
Okay.
We can give it more time because I don't normally read other people's poetry, but this, of course, is Pretty Bird, and that's there's always an exception for her. Yeah, because, you know, Pretty Bird does great things and she does great poetry. So I was going to read Pretty Bird's poem. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I figure I can do that. I put it up on the board. So this is How Bliss Becomes Black Water by Pretty Bird, and it goes a bit like this. Blinded, unkindness always takes the easy route, piercing soft tissue just because it's there, leaving nothing but hindsight for blurred vision. Grit in a song can't hide the screams, but the tongue is soft and easily bitten. Shadows and cackles score the self-loathing mind. The birth of insanity and scripts can't write themselves. A biting lesson in bloodlet memories diluted where brackish truth seems black down. A stone's throw from salt flats and dried rivulets. A conspiracy to pick clean the bones of truth, whitewashing thoughts just to be left.
with black tar remains of perception and dehydrated feelings of misplaced inadequacies. Retrospection, introspection, and warped self-perception for the win, because unkindness always takes the easy route. Encom. For Ravens is called a conspiracy or an unkindness, and I'm very, very fond of the sentence that is repeated, unkindness always takes the easy route. And I like the fact it's repeated. It sort of feels like Mending Wall by Robert Frost. And yes, that's a big compliment. Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that that repetition has a haunting feel to it. How Bliss Becomes Blackwater. That's quite a brilliant title. But yeah, I like, too, that she went with what they called them as a group. I like to do that, too. And I think that it's a nice touch. A stone throw from the salt flats and dried rivulets. A conspiracy to pick clean the bones of truth. There's a lot of bone picking tonight. So it's standing out for me how much we think of the Raven and bones being picked. And it makes me wonder if that's something that we should blame on Poe. On a side note, anyhow.
Maybe.
Where brackish truth seems black down. Really, really awesome. But I've always said that got away with words, and she's one of those people that nobody can write like her. And I have actually seen a couple try, but it's only one pretty bird.
Indeed there is, and it's just wonderful we have her with us. Hatter, did you want to say a few words about Pretty Birds, please?
I was invited to fix my poem, so that's what I've been doing.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah.
You were, that's true. And at this point, I was going to ask Deb, we've got a couple... Are there a couple of SoundClouds or not? There's the
we have
the one
SoundCloud from
one.
Frank tonight.
Yes. Brilliant. Okay.
And I think
well,
the other one
SoundCloud.
Is a reader, but it's a haiku. I think we met.
Oh, that's
yeah, Laughing Soul sent a haiku, and Frank sent a SoundCloud. So those are the last two.
Well,
that
we might
have.
Get you... Okay, well, we might get you to do the haiku of Laughing Soul, and before that, we might do the SoundCloud by Frank. And I have got another Raven poem that we'll put in that I'll do. And then we'll see if we've
got
enough time
one.
For to have his poem ready.
Cool.
I'm just giving you
okay,
some time
well,
to get
I'm grabbing Frank's Hatter. Link and putting it on the board.
Yep.
Hatter, are you trying to say
yep.
something?
Yeah, I got the Soul Strings, The Crow, and the one I just wrote. So I got something to add.
Okay.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, we will
it's a feast of hats for the end. Okay. And on the just help me with the studio listing, Deb, Frank's up the top. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Okay, cool. Easy. Righto. Well, I'm going to play Frank now. Here we go.
Hast thou not seen the unkindness of ravens looming over the drear and dark tower of London? 'Tis said that if the six resident ravens depart, the tower and lofty kingdom would collapse. Wretched be the foe that the curse befalleth upon, for so ominous is the unfortunate fate of doom. The gurgling, croaking, harsh, grating sounds echoing throughout the hollow walls with a shrill. Know that they are faithful and observing watchers, harbingers of the clear tidings of death and despair. Their allegiance is only to the master they serve. Behold the lost souls of the clamour of injustices. Those poor devils, the victims of the king's wrath, whose hearts were plucked out like torn petals. The thorns of vengeance cry out with a full force, and sharp shall be the dagger that pierces the king. The heavy manacles of oppression shall be lifted, with the just fall before a dirge of the caged and slain, and the souls of air shall rise from their tombs to rule the tower with the righteous ones of time. Herefore thou shalt know about his abrupt downfall, and the tower shall be stained in thick royal blood. Hark! I hear them now from my solitary prison. Forever I roam the tower as the ghastly reverend.
Yeah.
Well, Hatter, there was Frank. We had the Vincent Price laugh at the end, but we had the sort of what was that? It was sort of like a howl of anguish, almost, really, in it, as well. And you know, Frank is. Sort of got the production quality going there up about 3 points compared to where it's been before. He really has got the music. He's got the timing. He's got everything going. So it's like sort of listening to a full stage production. But so well done, Frank. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, Frank's got that Bela Lugosi. He can lower his voice a little bit and pick that up. I think he sounds more like Bela Lugosi than Vincent Price. But, yeah, the laugh at the end. Yeah, at first you smile and everything, but he keeps going. In fact, then it gets a little disturbing.
Yes. Yes.
I think that was his
intention. Quite disturbing. But I think it was, but it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Deb, what did you think?
Well, I think that these recordings prove or show, or however you want to put it, that he's absolutely a theatrical reader. And
yes.
His pronunciations and tones pull you through the story. But I have to say, when he gets to that screechy thing, it's really, you get the chills. It's really a screechy noise. And that adds to the dimension there, too. So it's just like between the words and the tone and the screeching and the theatrical, you know, work that he puts into it. These recordings are brilliant. Great poem.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Pretty good stuff. So thank you, Frank. Thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you for all the work you put into the production to make it a full event, really, and not just a poetic piece. Now, Hatter, I have noticed in the interim that you have put something on the board.
Yes, I put two pre-writes and then the one I just finished. And the one I just finished, I'm not proud of, but sort of got away from me. We can see how it goes.
Well, is that the one that's up on the board? With food,
yes.
Food abounds in battlefield. That one. Well, let's give it a go, Hatter. Let's try it. Yeah.
Okay. Let me go down, man. The group jumped. And Deborah and I talking off a lot. There it is. Okay. Richard Bird, Picasso, Jay Hatter. And forgive me. Okay, ready? For lack of a title, yep. With food abound in battlefields, the blackbirds fed from plenty yield. Witness to the dead be eaten, and the devil's imp the eyes be feeding. Into the league of a blackbird curse, thinking out loud, it could not get worse. Hunted and hated, poisoned and stated, the devil picks the eyes of the dead. Nothing more be added, nothing more be said. At one time, the ravens and crows were revered, but then after the battles with the bodies left on the battlefield, they would go out and
yeah,
get the eyes
absolutely.
Out. And so they were the
yeah.
devil's harbinger.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really good, Pat. I don't think I'd have a problem having that as a finished piece. I actually think it stands on its own because... it's short, it's succinct, but it actually works. Especially the last stanza, hunted and hated and poisoned and stated, that's really clever. The devil picks the eyes of the dead. Nothing more be added, nothing more be said. That's you could have the last stanza just as a poem on its own, to be honest. It's really, really clever.
Thank you, AP.
Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with the ending part. Actually, the last two, into the league of a blackbird curse, thinking out loud, it could not get worse. You forgot the L there, by the way. You have this impeccable cadence that always shines in long or short. And I think that it shines here in your brevity and clever piece with food
it
abound
is.
In battlefields. That's
clever.
Kind of gross images right there. Just saying.
Yeah, I try to keep that cadence somewhere in the right and then back to it again.
Yeah.
I think it makes it easier read. Is that right? Is it easier read that way?
Yeah. I just think it's sometimes I wouldn't have thought to use a pattern of the ands like that, Hatter. And you wouldn't think on reading it that it would come out as such a beautiful cadence, but it does.
I like to switch it up a little bit.
No matter how I structure
a piece, I'll read it as long as it flows. As long as it flows, there's no tripping. I mean, it's good.
Yes.
It's good to me. So I'll break up the cadence when I can, but I have to be careful doing that.
Yeah. No. I agree. Well, and so I think we've sort of shimmied around a little bit of Poe with the Raven tonight. Hatter. So
yeah.
I was gonna before we do one of your pre-writes, I was gonna do one of my pre-writes. Yeah. So
all right. Yeah.
This is from a little bit ago, but this is, you know, what would Poe think if he came back today? Was the sort of, you know, sense of this from a little while ago. So this is Nevermore. And it goes a bit like this. And engaged in Netflix passing, but no words are lasting, to an iPad that image by Weber Bird, if not down more. Then upon the fabric couch sinking in Siri, I had thinking, why upon sigh was this black raven a symbol so raw? And struck the sentence, show don't tell, rhyme ignore. Surely strange, these times of yore. As a round fiery chariot speeding, but no horses heeding, except those of horsepower and burning oils as they bore. Listen more climbing as motorbikes rev, as Duco shining, all the noises whining, trains grind and planes do go o'er. Surrounding my mind and head floating in noise o'er. Surely strange, these times of yore. While still people are sighing, attached to machines dying, not that of simple passing in the bedrooms of homes before.
or upon fear hiding, weapons brandish, troubles abiding, that raven has many graves to attend, and yet so many more. Strange times of yore, surely nevermore. End poem.
Bravo. I say that's Poe. I guess Poe.
I was going to say, I was going to guess that that was Poe mixed up with Banjo.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, wow.
It's a bit of a mix, isn't it?
That is wonderful. Wow.
I feel like when you pulled out, you were definitely reading Banjo before you wrote.
I'll tell you what, when
yeah.
you started,
to fill
it
out
and you hit the first, you hit the first, you hit the first rhyming sound, the word, and then he,
yes.
just, you're waiting for it, then there's another line, okay, there it is. You did very well in the long line rhyme. That's what the masters do. And when you do that, to me, that's beautifully done, even if it doesn't rhyme. But this is well done. Going on a list, man. Going on a list.
You like that one? Yeah, no.
I like it.
I like that one. Yeah, I like that one. It's got the Raven has a beautiful rhyme and flow and cadence, and I just tried to pick up the rhyme and flow and cadence of the Raven. That's what I tried to do, but then mix it with the sense of things being a bit different now. So that was the idea.
Yeah. Nicely done.
So there you go. Bit different, but sweet nonetheless. So so we're going to quickly do next the haiku, a form that I really never do, Deb, because I can never get it right. And then we're going to go to one of your pieces, Hatter. So, Deb, we're on the Raven Haiku by Laughing Soul.
Okie dokie. Short but sweet haiku. Goes like this. She bathes in moonlight prior to casting a spell. A raven disguised. And poem.
Now that's neat. That's very neat. I like that. It's such a difficult form, I've got to say. You've got so little to work with, and to have actually used the image in that way, and to have got a poem like that, I'm super impressed. Deb, what did you think of the haiku?
Yeah, I think she did a great job. They are really tough to do, like you said. You got to pack into a little teeny space. I can do a haiku chain better than I can do a solo, because it's really hard, because each line has to stand on its own, and
yes.
that they're not supposed to be related to each other, and some people don't allow ing in theirs, and for such a little form, it's got a lot of rules. But on the other end of the spectrum, when they're done right, they're beautiful, and this is lovely, and it was an honor to read for her.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Thank you, Deb. And Hatter, did you want to pass comment on the haiku?
Yeah, I'm the worst judge at haikus, but this one I can tell is very well done.
No, it is. It's a beautifully executed piece. It makes the form look simple, and it's not. It's not at all. And great respect for anybody who can put together a haiku that actually makes sense within the constraints of the form. So very, very well done. Hatter, I'm going to turn to you because you have some historic pieces that are going to close us out. Now, I should say too, Hatter, that we have to get a theme from you for next week, because, of course, it was my choice of the Raven for this week. So you need to think about what your theme will be.
Yeah, let's see. The introducing the theme. Let's go thankful. What are you thankful for?
What are you thankful for? We can do that.
What are you thankful for? Yeah.
We can do that.
Tell us.
What are you thankful for? Yeah, no, no. I like that. I think it's simple, and I think that's a good choice, Adam. What are you thankful for? Yep. We can go with that. Okie doke.
Cool.
Now, Hatter, you need to put one of your comms up on the board. I think you've got a couple, you said, that you've got.
I'll leave it up to you guys. Either the crow or the soul strings.
Okay. Anyone? And do you want to read it, or do you want one of us to read it?
I want you to read it.
You want me to read it?
Read the crow.
Which one do you want me to read? Read the crow? We can do that.
Either one. You choose. They're both good.
I'm going to go crow.
Yeah,
they're good. Go crow.
Okay.
Go crow. Let's do that. Here we go. This is The Crow by Jay Hatter from a few years ago. And, of course, it goes a little bit like this. That morning, I sat watching the trees when I noticed something staring at me. Two dark little eyes in concert with mine drew a cowardly feeling that raced down my spine. When a whistling pot I rose to attend, the window left open, I heard him fly in. On the chair, he lit just as he pleased with those black little eyes staring at me. He began to speak in riddles and rhymes. The words he spoke could have been mine. A life you possessed alone these past years. To those you left, it brought sorrow and tears. Why are you here and how do you know? He ruffled his feathers, for I am a crow. I spoke to you once while at the stream. I am one you hear when lost in your dreams. I've come to help you, to guide you home. Be lost you will if you try it alone. I will show you how, and with me as your guide, I shall give you wings, I will teach you to fly. Said in confusion, I've only one thing to say. Is it possible, please, that I not leave you today? His answer was quick as he raised his voice. It's already happened, you have no choice. Talked we sat for hours, it seemed. A talking crow, he sat as if in a dream. With wings from a blackbird, I flew to the sky, effortlessly soaring with a crow at my side. Feel not saddened, for I am now free of the sins and regrets that weighed so on me. This heavenly story I wished you to know. Do not fly to fear with the crow in palm.
Thank you, AP.
Pleasure, Hatter.
I think that's brilliantly written.
I really like it.
Yeah, and he got me to read it for him last time, so we have both read it. It's been read in a chick voice and in a man voice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
cool. You made it sound haunting, AP.
Yeah. I really liked the sense of the piece. I do not fear to fly with a crow. It had a sense to me, Hatter, of sort of this. I was sort of thinking of a sort of ghostly apparition, for some reason, as I was reading the poem, and it sort of struck me that that you used in the sense of the piece was of that sort of, you know, something dark this way comes, you know. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I sort of wanted to hit on the fear of dying and to not fear it for everybody. Mm. Everybody will be there. And if you believe that, you'll carry on. So believe.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, it's a pace poem. I understand it's a silly way to say it, but you can vary the pace of the read in this, and it actually
in some ways, the slower it goes, the more it speaks to you.
Yeah, read the author's note. It explains where I based my inspiration.
Okay. So, and I'll probably say this wrong, Yakwa Indians revere the crow as a spirit guide.
Yeah, the Yaki.
Yaki, is it? Okay, thank you. The Yaki Indians revere the crow as a spirit guide that can travel to the afterlife. And I tried for over a year to put this in a poem that I was happy with. What happens to our reality when it is our time is something that's been written and feared since the beginning of time. This is my attempt to express my feelings. Thank you, and I hope all will enjoy reading. Okay, there you go. So I didn't have that. I didn't read that first, Hatter. I just read the poem, right? But I can certainly see that now. Yeah, I can certainly see that now. And it does feel – some of your poems, some of your poems feel like they've been worked quite a bit, and this one does. Not in a bad way. It just feels more as if there was something behind it, and I didn't know. So there you go. I do now.
Yeah. I kept tweaking it every time I read it. There was something I found, and then it kept it. I think I'm happy with it now. So.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good. No, it's and really enjoyed it, Hatter. So, great
thank
choice.
You.
Great choice.
Yeah, thank you.
So, now you've got one more, Hatter. Did you want to read that one to finish off?
No, go ahead. You read it so well. That's
you
cool.
Want me to read it? I'm very happy to
yes,
read
please.
It. You know, right. Okay, righto. Well, I'll grab that one too. So this is your one, Soul Strings, Hatter. So let me put that up on the board, and we'll have this one as our final poem of the night. And it's up on the board now. And, of course, it goes a little bit like this. Without deciding to define, your soul will be blind. Decisions will be when you're finally set free. Confusion will be the sign. Post when you are to breathe your last. The window you need to be open and freed will close because of your past. The crows will cry for your soul to hide as they stitch a tether with thread. The ravens will lead to where you believe the place you will go instead. The corvids as guides with tethered souls fly to the house where we all belong. Stitched from behind, they wait for the sign to pass the news along. The lost are doomed to end up balloons that aimlessly float away. Peace will abound in those places you've found, in the house in which you pray. Not believing's a choice if you hear the voice to a life with little at heart. Blackbirds will turn to vultures and terns. Your soul will be torn apart. They will send one day the crows your way to guide you through the doors. I suggest you find to ease your mind a place of legend and lore. There is more to them here than will ever be clear, and why there are places to pray. Counted by numbers, they pull us asunder. Beware the crooked spade. You need to believe in order to see that time will carry on. It's harder to hide those things inside. Eternity is way too long. End poem.
Thank you. I think the Indian needs to be changed to feel something. But thank you for reading that.
You think? No, pleasure. No, pleasure. It's a lovely poem to read, Hatter, and the reason for that is because very early on, it you're guided to what the rhythm is as a reader, and it's nice when that happens because
you don't then have to worry about looking at what you're doing, because you know the rest of the poem's just going to float out in that same rhythm. You know, you've always said to me that you're really keen to get your cadence right and your rhythm right, and you know, this is probably one of those poems, I think, that just flows on cadence, really just rolls through.
I shall post no rhyme before it's time.
Indeed. Deb, what did you think of this one? You've probably seen it before, but what do you think?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if I've read this one out loud, or if I totally remember it. It was from a contest that he actually wound up winning the gold for.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. It absolutely blew me away then and now, too. You know, looking at this, Hatter, it might have been when you first started coming around that last gig and then jumped on board, because I'm saying here, Hatter, maybe you can read this on a show tonight, which, under normal circumstances, I wouldn't. Oh, well, yeah, I remember that picture from there. I was just looking.
Wow, look at the list.
I know, right? Yeah. You and In Chains and wow. But yeah, no, I remember this one vividly. Really cool.
Cool. Thank you, Deb.
So, Deb, I think we might have done the lists. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And I think we might have done a couple of our back poems and new poems as well, Hatter. So I think we've done pretty well.
Yeah.
And if that's
And I'm changing the board to what? What are you thankful for?
Yeah.
What am I thankful
what do you
for?
Think?
Where am I thankful for? Yes, what are we thankful for next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
For next week. That's the theme for next Let's see what that brings out. Have a nice open topic, and we will see what our listeners are thankful for, and we'll have a go at writing something ourselves and see what happens. And I promise I might even get the my words to you, Deb, for the collab. That would be cool.
that would be cool.
dancing around from restaurant to restaurant and bar to bar, which is what I've been doing this week. So, you know, Deb was concerned that I might have been unwell, Hatter, because I hadn't been on the site much. Well, the truth of the matter is, I hadn't been on the site much because I've been too busy in restaurants and bars. So, you know.
Well, you know what? We need a poetry restaurant.
Well, we should, Hatter. It's funny you should say that because, no. In London, there is a poetry cafe. It's run by the Poetry Society. You can sit in there and have cheap toasties and listen to poets, which you should. So it's in the centre of London. It's back lane. There you go. And I've been there, Hatter. Stupidly, I recited there too. The night I landed in London. Yeah, no, I landed in London at 6, just after 6 in the morning, got through customs fairly quickly, which is unusual for Heathrow. Got myself to the centre of London by 8 o'clock in time for the coffee shops to open, and then it was too early because the business that I was seeing wouldn't open until 9. I wandered around the local corners and the local stores, and there it was.
Really?
And so they were having an open poetry thing at 8 o'clock. I started, 9 o'clock that night. And so I signed up, and about 10 o'clock I did my open poetry reading and almost fell asleep because I'd been going for... crazy amount of that. So I'd fly in from Singapore that morning. And
do they stream? You think they stream out of it? Stream video?
No. It was all informal with about 70 people in a basement and reading poetry. And I read a couple of mine. And then then went home and fell asleep. literally fell asleep.
Berets, sunglasses, and snapping fingers.
It was English, and it was an interesting experience, to be honest, I was sort of halfway stuffed, but I
is it
was
still, is,
um,
it, is it still there? Is that cafe still there?
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. It is still there, Patter. I actually got nothing to do with Ravens, but I can actually, now that we're talking about it, I'll put it on the board and I'll read it as our final poem, because it was a strange feeling in that poetry cafe. So this was my poem that I wrote immediately after being in the poetry cafe in London. I stand naked, a microphone my cover. I'm in London in a basement lined with metal surplus chairs. 70 pairs of eyes straining at me in dim lighting. You were born here, but health challenges saw visits stymied. I'm visiting your home, standing, presenting in your lounge room. You're observing, eyes behind me upon my neck. Stuttering, start reading my poem, rich in your ways, honouring memories you bestowed me. My voice at first to tremble as I speak of you, until that cloud starts to lift. My voice ascends to its steady timbre until I conclude and look up. The slightest pause, followed by long, sustained applause. A chapter sealed that eve at the Poetry Cafe. Words as ashes spread. End poem.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you got nervous. This sort of explains it. Cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was. Cool. I was halfway between nervous, tired, feeling that my father was watching me because he never got back to London. Yeah, he never got back to England, and he always said he wanted to, and unfortunately he didn't. And I did a number of times, and this was another time I was in London. But I always felt as if he was watching me when I was in London, particularly at the Poetry Cafe. I don't know why, but I did.
Are the English aware of Banjo Patterson? They know who he is more than the rest of the world?
Banjo was popular in his day in London, but I don't think he's sort of well remembered there, Patter.
He was
sort of a flash in the pan at the time, if that makes sense. But you know, he certainly. I mean, I think, you know, the English have always been a little dismissive of Australian writers and poetry. And I think that's fair to say. Yeah.
Cool. I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that one time. Stand up and read.
You should.
Bring my quiver voice.
Absolutely, with quiver voice. And so we have got to the end of another production of Wonderland with Hatter, myself, AP, and Deb. My thanks to everybody who called in, to Stephen and to Sky. Lovely to hear from you. And to all those people who went and added poems to the board for us, whether it's Laughing Soul or Frank or all of those that Frank, like, for example, is in the SoundCloud. And of course, Deb and yourself, Hatter, for writing for the show and for putting those pieces out there, which were terrific. So I thought we got a good bunch of poems.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
And Pretty Bird.
Pretty Bird. Oh, Pretty Bird too, of course. Yeah, and Pretty Bird's piece as well, which was a lovely piece. So, in classic Pretty Bird style. So, and of course, Sky dropped the poem as she came in as well, and that was very Skyish. So, I think we got a range of good poems, and that's half the trick of a good team. So, and hopefully next week when we look at what we're thankful for, we'll get another set of good poems as well. That's all you can ask for, really. So.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody for contributing, and thanks for being part of the show.
Happy Halloween.
And happy Halloween. And we will go to the music to finish with, and I'm just trying to think of what would make any sense at all with this with this topic of the Raven, and I think I'm going to go for the of Shiloh with Elton John, because it's sort of dark and battling, and you can see the Raven sort of on the battlefield header. So out we go with that, and thank you everybody, and we'll be back next week.
Fun show, guys. Love and respect.
Okay, thanks, Deb.
Thank you, Deb. Be in touch later.
Soon.
Okay,
here we go.
Godforsaken place in Tennessee. prevail. Heaven help the South when Sherman comes their way.
There we go, everybody. A little bit of Elton John to finish and appropriately dark. That was The Raven. We're back for those things that we will do next week. And with that, we will finish the show. Thanks to my co-hosts, Hatter and Deb. See you all next week. Have fun, everybody. Bye.